You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic, holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Does your child sleep with the mouth open due to chronic nasal congestion? Wake up regularly in the middle of the night and complain of being tired all day long? Did you know that chronic congested nasal passages or enlarged tonsils may affect the growth of your child's face? Now, if the face is unable to breathe through the nose, then mouth breathing results, which may affect the overall health of your child and the craniofacial development of the face. This can lead to a condition called long face syndrome that's actually affecting millions of children today. Obstructive breathing is just one of the root causes of long face syndrome. And today on Wellness for Life, we have Dr. Joel Gould, a sleep apnea expert and founder of American Modern Dentistry Clinic in Los Angeles, California. And he's here to give us more insight on long face syndrome and how to prevent it and possibly even correct it. Welcome, Dr. Gould.
Hello. Hey, Suzanne. How are you?
Real good, man. Gosh, long face syndrome. What is it and why is it so important for the development of our children's face?
Well, so I want to sort of start at the beginning. I started my career in pediatrics and public health dentistry. And, when you work on children, there's a whole different set of things that you look at. So I'm a dentist. I practice general and cosmetic dentistry here in Los Angeles. And I see a lot of children here, and what I see in my own patients and what I actually experienced myself as a child growing up is this whole syndrome. It's basically long face syndrome. It's improper craniofacial growth and development that's being caused by multiple different things. And really, the disease is one of modern living. And so there's a couple of different factors that I want to clarify and go over with and really talk about how to prevent it and then what to do to correct it and what the results are if we don't.
Well, do we have to call it a disease, though? I mean, I know a lot of people who walk around with a long face. I mean, I even think that my husband George has it. And you know, right. George, and even my son. So I'd like to make sure that this is not a disease. We're not calling it a disease. This is a condition that people end up having. And it's not, I mean, could it be genetic?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because when we say disease, that's how a lot of these syndromes are looked at. They're looked at as a disease process. And what they really are is just an improper growth and development due to the most basic things. And what's really interesting is that when I was in dental school, and even today, dentists and even doctors are not taught about a very, very important guy in our medical history, and his name was Dr. Weston Price. And what Dr. Price did was he traveled around the world in the 1930s to all of the populations that were Aboriginal still living in that natural life before sugar, refined flour came to those areas. And he actually photographed twins in many different locations where these Aboriginal peoples, where one twin was eating the normal diet, the ancestral diet, and one twin was eating a modern diet. And he photographed the actual changes in the size of their jaw and how their face developed. And what he found was that there was two factors that were really critical for the proper growth and development of our whole craniofacial structure. And you can think of it this way, is that your brain is a program size, so your skull is going to be a specific size, but the lower jaw or the mandible is free-form floating and is very subject to environmental conditions. So back in those days, Weston Price figured there was two things that were affecting everyone, and they turned out to be vitamin D3 and vitamin K2. And I call them soulmates, as in S-O-L for sun, because they always came together in nature. So when the sun is high in the sky and your vitamin D level is high, the grass is also green. So vitamin D comes from sunlight, and vitamin K2 comes from green growing grass, and we get it from the milk and meat of animals that are eating this green growing grass. The greener the grass, the higher the K2 level. And what this system is a regulation of calcium. So vitamin D's primary function is to help you absorb calcium from the foods that you eat. And vitamin K2's primary function is to allow you to manage how that calcium goes into your teeth and bones. And when you don't have enough vitamin D, you don't absorb calcium. And when you don't have enough vitamin K2, any calcium that you actually absorb gets stuck in your blood vessels or in your skin rather than making it into the matrix of bone. And oftentimes that calcium will get put into cartilages, and the nasal septum is one of the cartilages that gets calcified too soon when you don't have the right amount of K2 in your body to activate the proteins that bind calcium in your blood and put it into bone. And so this irregular bone deposition is what messes everything up. So what's supposed to happen is that we're supposed to be outside without clothes on as hunter-gatherers, and we're supposed to be eating the animals that are out or that are roaming in the fields eating grass. And this was a system of evolution over the last 1.5 million years that we as animals, you know, we had this in abundance. And so when we don't have our D3, we don't absorb the calcium, we don't have the K2, the calcium gets stuck in our arteries and in our skin. And so when it comes to craniofacial development, this does two really interesting and weird things. Number one is the chronic colds and flus of vitamin D deficiency, because when you don't have enough vitamin D, your immune system does not get activated and you become much more subject to colds, flus, allergies, and then if your nasal septum gets calcified improperly, it can really decrease the amount of breathing you can do through your nose. Now, we were designed as humans to breathe through our noses, and it does a lot of specific things like humidifying air, adding nitric oxide to help vasodilation. And when you breathe through your mouth, this is not our preferred system. And what's fascinating is that when you chronically have an open mouth and breathe through your mouth, it changes the structure of your actual palate and your jaws, and it narrows the palate, and you get what's called a high vault narrow palate. And you need to go to the orthodontist to have braces to widen your jaw. In fact, Dr. Weston Price found that the people who were eating the ancestral diet had room for all of their wisdom teeth, whereas these days, very few people have enough craniofacial growth to be able to fit all 32 teeth. So this is a combination of events. It's a lack of breathing causing a musculoskeletal change, and it's basically an issue of the immune system of not breathing properly. And once you're not breathing properly, a couple of different things happen. With swollen, chronically swollen tonsils, kids breathe through their mouth. They end up using their finger, their thumb to keep their airway open. And it's sort of a chain of events that ends up in where we have these kids who are ADD, they're unhappy, they wet the bed, they need to see the orthodontist very early on. So it sets off a chain of events that's really destructive to what we're supposed to be, how our jaws and face are supposed to develop.
Well, what you're saying is fascinating, because so much of these syndromes or these pictures of children that a lot of kids have, you know, problems with colds and flus, and that's typical. A lot of kids end up having their tonsils taken out because they're so swollen. But what I'm hearing here, of course, is that it is a true vitamin deficiency. Vitamin deficiency of vitamin D and K is part of the reasons why we're all suffering, or a lot of our kids in America. Now, when I was in Korea earlier this year, Joel, I saw a lot of kids, because I went to different places all around. This was for my research, self-funded research on kimchi and kimchi health and health. And there weren't a lot of kids with braces in that country. And they have beautiful teeth, really surprisingly, beautiful teeth. Their smiles were incredible. And they were all happy, of course, and playing outdoors and whatnot. But in America, at least here, the ones that we know, that we're always in the city. I live in Los Angeles. We're indoors. We barely have any physical activity outside anymore. And these kids are having trouble with allergies, environmental issues, chronic fatigue, mood disorders. I mean, I can go on and on, because I take care of a lot of pediatrics. And it's now what you're doing is you're linking one specific area that can really help in all those conditions, which is a vitamin D and K2 deficiency.
Right. Well, that's exactly correct. And what we need to think about is that, again, humans evolved outdoors to be hunter-gatherers without clothing, hats, or sunscreen. And I understand sun safety and how it's become the nightmare it is here in the U.S. And so parents want to protect their kids. They put sunscreen on them, not understanding that sunscreen can be dangerous if you don't really know what you're doing. When you put sunscreen on kids, you think you're protecting them, but you can actually be damaging them in multiple different ways. So it's much more complex than just spraying your kids with sunscreen and thinking they're okay. Sunscreen will block 99% of all vitamin D production. and there is no vitamin D in milk. It's placed artificially, and it's vitamin D2, and it's a tiny amount, and it will prevent rickets, but it won't prevent the other issues with vitamin D deficiency. And where this all comes to is really the study of epigenetics. Everyone knows that, you know, you inherit your genes from your parents, and that's your DNA. That's, you know, 23andMe, and everyone wants to know their ancestry. But epigenetics is the study of how we access those genes or how we turn them off and on. And this information is really new, even though it's been around forever. We haven't really recognized that the environment is a profound modifier of epigenetics. And what that means in English is that what you do, the diet that you follow, the sunlight and lighting conditions that you're in, the food that you eat, and the activities that you do profoundly affect the access to your own DNA. And if you are not put into the right situations, your body will not activate the right genes at the right time. And you have to think of it this way, is that our modern lives, where we live indoors, wear clothing, have jobs, eat processed foods, these things that we do form the bars of a gilded cage that we build for ourselves out of comfort and convenience. And literally, you know that animals in captivity get sick, and we are the animals that are getting sick. We are literally in captivity, and not understanding how our basic biology works results in the modern syndromes and diseases or malfunctions of our biology that we see all around us. And, you know that I'm the author of a book, and my book is called The Modern Epidemic. And what it really is the disease of modern living and us not understanding what our bodies need to be healthy. And so the profound nature of this is that it's a very simple fix. And back to Weston Price, what he discovered was his book was called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And this was really profound. It didn't go viral back in those days. But what he discovered was it wasn't a disease process that's making everybody sick with these modern maladies. There was actually a lack of proper nutrition. And that's exactly what it is. And how interesting that it took this long for us to figure all this out.
I love Preston Weston Price's work, and it totally makes sense because, you know, like I said, when you look at a lot of these indigenous cultures and you see pictures of them in the jungle or in the desert or whatever, they have amazing looking teeth. I always get people's teeth because that means a lot, yeah. Right? I look at their teeth, yeah, and absolutely. I look at their smiles, and I actually take pictures of videos. You know, when I watch, let's say, YouTube sure. videos of indigenous, I take pictures of that because I'm thinking this is incredible how beautiful their teeth yeah. look. They're very white and lots of enamel with a huge smile, and their upper teeth are always over the lower ones, right? Where right. it's the natural bite.
We didn't have dentists throughout all of our evolutionary history. And what people, you know, what's interesting is that people don't really think of us as animals. And really, that's what we are. We're just really highly evolved animals, depending on what your idea of evolution is. So Mother Nature figured all this out. And what we've done as modern humans is that we sort of thought that we could outsmart Mother Nature by modifying our food chain. And, you know, that's one of the other big issues here. Is that even if you go out in that sun, one of the newer and interesting pieces of information that I've come to realize is that eating processed foods and carbohydrates will decrease your ability to make vitamin D when you go out in the sun. And that's a process where the carbohydrates themselves are unnatural. We wouldn't find them in our food chain, and certainly not in the processed forms of sugar and white bleached flour. And those materials get incorporated into our skin, into the cholesterol on our skin, and they prevent us from making as much vitamin D as we would normally make, which is really fascinating. The second part of this, which is really interesting about modern living, is that we created all these EMFs, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and all of these electromagnetic frequencies that we're bouncing around that we can't see, but our bodies feel them. And the constant application of these electric currents to our bodies is really kind of stressing our cell membranes. And when we stress our bodies in any way, we increase our metabolism. And when we increase our metabolism, we utilize more chemicals, and that means more vitamin D. So modern living itself, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and eating carbohydrates has actually made it even worse. If it's not bad enough that everyone's avoiding the sun for fear of cancer, but lower levels of vitamin D are associated with modern living in general. And so these are new things, and, you know, no one's going to give up their Wi-Fi or their Bluetooth, and I totally get that. But what we really need to do is biohack our systems and take the right vitamins, take the right minerals to replace them. You know, I kind of joke and say that I'm biohacking my systems to be a modern hunter-gatherer, because I don't want to go back and, you know, live like a hunter-gatherer out in the wild. I don't want to stalk my own prey. I don't want to sleep on the ground, but I want to do what my body thinks makes it feel like it's out living outdoors, and that is supplementing vitamin D, supplementing vitamin K2, having kimchi, having kombucha, having all the fermented stuff. That's what makes our bodies healthy.
You know, Joel, you mentioned about taking vitamin D. Now, I'm someone that I want people to definitely go in the sun. And when you do go in the sun, you don't have to be naked. I tell people, you know what, at least expose your arms and legs or even your back. Your back is a very thick skin and it's more durable than your face or your chest, which is where most of the skin irritations and cancers can start. But I want to ask you, where are your recommendations? You talk about for children, you know, going outside is good, but also taking supplements for children. Now, what are the levels that you recommend for vitamin D supplementation?
Sure. Okay. Well, when it comes to kids, it's a little bit complex, but what you have to understand is that if you're going to take your kids out to go in the sun, there's never any need to expose your face. So having a hat or covering the face or putting good thick, white sunscreen on your face is fine. But you want to let your kids run around in that sunlight for about 20 minutes before you apply your sunscreen. That's number one. Number two is you want to make sure that they have a higher level of vitamin D, because when you block out all the vitamin D, you're still getting the UVA radiation that's still penetrating in past the sunscreen. So having that higher vitamin D level is protective against the dangers of the sun. So when it comes to kids or when it comes to anyone, a really easy, good, and conservative rule of thumb to take vitamin D, and this is daily, is about 1,000 IUs or international units per 25 pounds. And what that means is if you're a 100-pound woman, you should be taking 4,000 IU a day. If you're a 200-pound man, you should be taking 8,000 IU of vitamin D per day. And that's going to get you up over a 40 or a level of 50. And that's the level that when we start to see the reduction of cancers and all the health problems fall away. So I always want my patients to be always over 40, preferably in the 50 range. And using that rule of thumb, that 1,000 IU per 25 pounds is a good way to gauge it. Now, the only issue is that one out of every 50 people or one out of every 100 people will need much less. That's why testing is important. So after you start to take vitamin D, it's important to go get a test because you don't want to go too high. I don't believe there's the fears that doctors have about toxicity are warranted. The toxicity comes from a lack of vitamin K2. So if you take D3, and for kids, they come in gummies, and you can easily get a D3 2000 IU, K2 100 micrograms gummy, and that's a great amount for most kids. And as they get older, you can give them two gummies or more. Now, the only issue is that if your D level is very low, you're going to want to take a loading dose or have a higher dose at the beginning. And I usually recommend something like 5,000 or 10,000 short term, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, depending if you've had a blood test and you actually know your level. With kids, we don't really take blood, so we're just going to assume that they're going to be low for all the obvious reasons of living indoors, and then we would just want to supplement. So giving your kid 2,000, 4,000 IU vitamin D is very safe, especially when it comes to the K2. And then that way, when you go in the sun, you're going to be safe because you're not blocking all of that natural vitamin D. When you go in the sun and your vitamin D level is low, your body doesn't know that you're in the sun, because vitamin D produces three things. Sunlight produces three things on your skin, and that's the UVB radiation. It produces a tan, melanin, it produces the sunburn, and it produces vitamin D. Now, the sunburn part is a signal to let you know to get out of the sun. Hunter-gatherers weren't stupid. If their skin got hot, they would seek shade.
Can I ask you a question regarding if, let's say, your child, you know, someone out there listening, they have a child who actually is suffering from allergies or colds, and they start now providing vitamin D and K2 to the child. Do you think that if the child was already suffering from the changes of lung face, can you arrest it and can it actually reverse, go back?
Sure.
I want to know, sure, what are the changes that we could see in children if we catch this soon, early on?
Okay, you got it. So how it works is like this. So if your child is clenching and grinding, you hear that noise, that's a severe vitamin D deficiency. If your child snores, that's also a severe D deficiency. And what we find is that within even 2 to 3 days of supplementing vitamin D, that grinding noise and the snoring will stop. Tonsils will shrink. So it depends on what age you catch the kids at with their growth and craniofacial development, in that if we're starting with, you know, an infant and you keep this child always on D3K2 and it's an amount that they would have if they were hunter-gatherers living naturally, their craniofacial development will be normal and natural. Now, if your child is 7 or 8, you're definitely going to want to have an intervention with an orthodontist. I usually say age 7 or 8 to see if you need to have some palatal expansion. And that's our first opportunity, is that age range, so we can see if there is a narrow palate. And an orthodontist are great at this. They're going to be able to identify if the child needs to have expansion of the palate, and they usually will put in some appliances, either removable or fixed, and that will widen the upper jaw, and the lower jaw growth will follow. So there's intervention. You have the ability to intervene in your child's craniofacial development at any point in time, even at age 12 or 13. I get really nervous about kids who've been very, very D-deficient, because all the studies show that multiple sclerosis is highly related to a D deficiency before the age of 10 or 11. So once we start to get into puberty, then we start to have a different range of problems, because vitamin D is associated with growth and development. And all the kids who are late developers, and I see this dentally all the time, I'll see a 12-year-old who looks like a 10-year-old from their dental x-rays, and I can see that the physical age of their body is not developing. So it's really critical to intervene, because those growth spurts and puberty are highly related to that child, especially having the right T level to sleep properly, because it's in sleep that we grow. And that's the most important part. That's when we release our growth hormone. And that's where our bodies as children start to grow, and where growth and development is really critical. So when your child's D level is low and they're choking in their sleep, and that literally happens from a lack of vitamin D at the control of the airway, they don't grow and develop properly. So if you're listening to this and your child has late development, you definitely want to go to your pediatrician. And I want to really get this information out there, that doctors do not learn about this in medical school. This is not known. And your pediatrician may scoff at you for considering this, because they're taught that all the kids are fine. And it's really kind of terrifying, because most of the children I see here are highly vitamin D deficient, and I live in Southern California. It's sunny every day here, and the kids are still D deficient. So there's ability to intervene at many, many different levels, but the lack of understanding of how this works is really dangerous, and this can really affect children for the rest of their life. And you know, Suzanne, that I've been a victim of this syndrome, and I suffered myself very badly for many years for not lack of understanding, because I'm from Canada, and where I'm from, there was very little sunlight.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. But, you know, there's no doubt, even in Southern California, we are constantly seeing children with vitamin D deficiency and other types of disorders. And, of course, as they get older, they have other issues as adults. Then what, I mean, you made such a great point that pediatricians don't know about this. Then what is it that parents can do? Who, I mean, you do you do phone consults with these parents? Do you end up helping children and guiding them? Where else can people go if they live on the other side of the world?
Well, so the good news is that, you know, the internet is very powerful. Obviously, I've got my book that I'm trying to get out. And, you know, I basically wrote a kind of the human animals, the owner's manual of, like, how, you know, how your body works on a very organic and basic level, and say these are the inputs. But parents don't need to be too concerned. This is a very, very simple deficiency, and it's as easy literally as going online, going to Amazon, and ordering a D3K2 supplement. I find that there's three basic missing elements in our life. It's vitamin D3, vitamin K2, magnesium, and organic sulfur. And those are the big four. Those are the things that were removed from our food chain. And anyone can go and very simply supplement those. You don't even need to see a pediatrician to give your child a D3K2 supplement. So it's safe. There's no toxicity, and anyone can do it. So it's really, you know, very basic stuff. The other way is to obviously go to someone like yourself, go to a functional medicine doctor who's specifically trained to work with you one-on-one. But, you know, it's not required. These are very basic deficiencies that everyone is suffering from.
Well, there's no doubt with my patients, even with children, I actually do blood tests, Joel, because I find that you will find a lot of information in children, even excess cholesterol. It's amazing what you find. So getting a blood test is important. And then, of course, making sure you give them the supplement. And then 3 to 4 months later, I actually retest and let's say that it's going towards 50 nanograms per milliliter. Deciliter. And that's what I go for. 50 and above. Truthfully, 50 to 70 is what I look for when it comes to adults. 50 on kids are great, right? Definitely I find that once it starts to get to the optimal level of vitamin D3, then that's when a lot of the symptomatology starts to dissipate. And even with brain focusing and anxiety, sleep disorders like we talked about, those are all affected by vitamin D levels.
Absolutely. They all start to fade away, and that's the important part. So when I treat sleep apnea, my goal range is 60 to 80. And what's really fascinating is that the doctors in my area who are not trained in this, they think that's way too high. They've changed a lot of the tests. It used to be 30 to 100 was normal, and now they've changed it to anything over 50. They actually have this at UCLA. They say it's toxic. And I think it's kind of laughable because I actually don't supplement my vitamin D. I get sun exposure, and I'm on a very strict ketogenic diet. I don't eat any carbs or sugar unless it's a special occasion. And my level actually went up to close to 100, which was a shock to me because I've got a job. I don't spend that much time outside. So Mother Nature doesn't make mistakes. And you know, your level, if you were a hunter-gatherer living outside in the summer, would be very, very high. It'd be definitely well over 50. So I think those levels are safe. And you know, the only issue with kids is that, you know, giving blood for kids is kind of tough. But it's great that the more testing I can have my patients do, the happier I am in knowing that the level or the amount that they're taking daily is getting them to a what I call an evolutionary level. That's definitely over 50.
Right. You know, I did a little research and I saw, and I can't even tell you where, but I read that the hunter-gatherers, our ancestors, they all actually had, and they average about 120. The level was at 120, and they felt that that was average because they're outdoors all the time. So what we get is so minimal amount. Supplementing is key. I just have to say that for my body and some of my patients, they actually have a genetic component, the actual gene that blocks their ability to utilize vitamin D. It's called VDR tag, or vitamin D receptor variants. This is genetic variants. And those individuals, they actually have to have more vitamin D levels. Supplement more. Like, for instance, for me, I have to supplement with 10,000. 10,000 a day just to get myself over 50. And I am in the sun a lot. You've seen me, Joel. I am tan.
Yep. Well, okay, so the interesting thing is that when they change, or when the units of vitamin D are in international units, and this is really tragic because 40,000 international units is 1 milligram, and most people will go to the pharmacy or go online and buy a 1,000 IU vitamin D supplement thinking it's 1,000 milligrams. And that discrepancy is really kind of the downfall of Western civilization. When the doctors in my neighborhood see that I recommend 10,000 IU of vitamin D to my patients, they freak out and they say that's toxic. And they don't know, they don't understand that 10,000 international units is 0.25 milligrams. So, you know, these are concepts that people who aren't extremely science aware, is confusing. So 10,000 sounds like a crazy amount, but that's a good amount for somebody who's living indoors, who, you know, and there's a lot of variation. You're absolutely correct on people's genetics. There's a lot of different, you know, if everyone's different from a DNA standpoint, some people will be required to take more vitamin D, some people less. And so that's why testing is really important. I can't tell you how important that is, because you want to make sure you keep a good range. I say don't leave your vitamin D level up to chance. You know, you can manage this. Yeah.
Dr. Gould, where do we find more information about your amazing work? Where can we reach you, or even a website that you can share?
Sure. So my dental website is Modern American Dentistry. You know, I'm a Canadian, and every immigrant likes to have the word American in their company. So you can find me at modernamericandentistry.com. I also, my Instagram feed is Sol, S-O-L, underscore sleep for Instagram. And you can contact me through that, or call my office or email me directly. I hope to get my book released so everyone can get this information in an easy to understand way.
Great. Your book, The Modern Epidemic. Can't wait to read it. Thanks so much. Wow. Amazing information. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. And if you know someone or their child is suffering from long face syndrome, share the show with them. It can really change their life for the better. If this is the first time listening to our show, please subscribe so I can continue to serve you with the most current health information available today. Also, connect with me on Instagram at Dr. Suzanne. I post regularly on how to become the best version of yourself through self-care, nutrition and kimchi, movement and lifestyle. And what's great is that you will be able to engage with me directly. Yes, I respond to all of the comments personally. If you need help, digging deeper into the root cause of your health issues so you can start feeling better today, I work with people globally through the phone and Skype. Just go to my website, drsuzanne.com, for my contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.